You mentioned God in there. Time, I was, probably going in a direction God didn't approve of, and He did enough to try, knock me back into line, but I survived. I mean, I've still got great upper body. I wish I'd had these shoulders and arms when I was playing.
I hear you.
Baseball. He did what I needed to get back in line. And that's, glad you said that, because I hate to say it, but it's what I needed.
Welcome to Professor of Perseverance podcast, where people share their stories of life tragedies, of accepting adversities, begin battling, and conquer challenges to not only survive difficulties, but also thrive in life. Are you having a bad day? Do you need help in overcoming adversities? Do you need help mastering courage to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, then this podcast is for you. Professor of Perseverance podcast will inspire you to face challenges head on in life and provide motivation to be a leader for others by setting examples of winning through difficulties while encouraging people to live life to the fullest. Your host of Professor of Perseverance podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, welcome to the Professor of Perseverance podcast. I am who you call Dr. James Perdue, a.k.a. the Professor of Perseverance. So, hey, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate everybody that's going to join in to chat now or coming to watch the replay at a different time. This is what you call, September is known as Spinal Cord Awareness, Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. Now, I have a little problem with that because instead of Spinal Cord Injury Awareness, shouldn't it be Spinal Cord Prevent Injury Awareness? So that's what I'm thinking. It should be Spinal Cord Prevent Injury, not just thing. Of course, there's like 50 blue million things for each month is representing something. So, hey, today's guest I want to introduce to y'all is Mike Morrow. And so let me tell you, he's got his, I'm old, Mike. I got to take my glasses off to read. All right. So he's got his master's degree in business from Middle Tennessee State University. Hey, some of the awards, he had a baseball scholarship back in the 1900s and 80. That's how my grandfather would do that. 1982 is what he would do me. So then that was at East Tennessee State University. All right. And then some of his accolades, his awards, he was nominated Teacher of the Year a couple of times, and he actually received some type of Teacher of the Year in 2005, 6, 2015. He was also got an award called the Christy Walsh Memorial Spirit Award in 2007. So he also was an Employee of the Year with the state of Tennessee, so with this organization. So he has been up and going. Also, Coach Mike, he's coached baseball and football. So he's in the sports world like me as well. So, and I've actually met Mike back at where he was Employee of the Year at the TRC, Tennessee Rehabilitation Center. He was the business instructor and I was the business student. So this is like the grasshopper and the master thing, isn't it? Ah, grasshopper. You have learned. So
back in the day.
We're going to get to there. My grandfather was like, back in the day of 1982. That's how my grandfather would do that, Mike. So yep. So appreciate Mike. Appreciate you being on the show. We're going to have a good time and everything. Now, Mike, I read some of your awards off Teacher of the Year, the Christy Walsh Award and everything. Some other stuff going on. Now, Mike, I'm not going to call you a liar on the big World Wide Web. I'm not going to do that. That wouldn't be appropriate. But, Mike, come on, man. You know you exaggerated with some of this, you know, because being a spinal cord injury, and I know you're a paraplegic, I'm a quadriplegic, but we were both told, you know, you'll never walk again. Now, I was also told I may not move from my neck down, okay, but we were both told we'll never walk again. And I'm sure back in 1980, early 80s, when you had your injury.
85.
I'm sure mine was in 83. Oh, so my injury is older than you. I mean, older than your injury.
Yeah.
Even though you're older than me. All right. So, but I'm sure you were told by doctors then, don't expect a big life. I mean, we were basically taught and told, stay at home. Don't do anything. You won't be able to do anything. The world's not going to take you in. Basically, stay home, lay in bed, get watered and fed like a plant, and then watch the TV shows other people are watching because they're controlling the channels, not you. And so I don't know if that's the same way with you, but that's the way it was with me being a quadriplegic. How about Mike?
Yep. Well, fortunately, with the situation after my wreck in 85, I was basically out of it for a month. I mean, I was conscious, I never lost consciousness, but I was, as far as memory goes, the September 85 is like it's ripped out of the calendar. Nothing, no recollection of anything, what was said, anything else. I don't know what I said, what doctor said, visitor said, whatever. I was out of tune. I didn't literally check back in until I was back at Vanderbilt. That's where I had my spinal surgery at Vanderbilt. And was being wheeled out to rehab, and that's kind of when the lights came back on and said, "Yeah, okay, you're back." So that's kind of where my memory picked up there, and then it was, you know, physical therapy and all that, and basically learning completely how to redo things, transfer, get out of the bed, on and off of a commode, in and out of a car. I mean, just basic stuff that, you know, you spent 20 years had pretty well down pat and had relearn it all again from a different sitting perspective.
The biggest advantage there is where you were learning as a baby, it was all new to you, where everything was new, but you're an adult and frustration can take full effect.
Right. So, that's true.
For me, you know, you were so used to doing everything, being an athlete and everything, and doing everything. And then here you couldn't even pick up I couldn't because of being a quadriplegic. Right. Couldn't even pick up a pencil or even a piece of paper and get frustrated. You know, I remember one time I had to sign a form when I was in the hospital, I guess for surgery. And here's my mom holding the pencil or a pen in my hand, and she's drawing an X with my hand. And the people are witnessing that X, even though I couldn't physically do it, but my fingers were touching the pen. And so she made the X, and then she signed underneath there as my guardian, I guess, whatnot then. And so that also made me think, after I got out of hospital and rehab and stuff like that, I started thinking, you know, if I'm allowed to legally have someone guide my hand to make an X. You know, I thought about getting a lawn mowing job while I was in the wheelchair. I told my brothers I would put my hand on the lawnmower and they could push me. And then that way I'll make the money because I'm pushing the lawnmower. My hand would be on the lawnmower.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, Mike, tell us early on some of your frustration. I mean, here's a, like an example of something. What do you wish in rehab or at Vanderbilt they would have clued you in on more that could happen during spinal cord injuries? Like, for example, me, they told me I'd get a UTI, urinary tract infection, but they never told me how severe it would be or how often it could be or any effects that goes along with it. I'm thinking, all right, so I'll pee and it won't smell good. But they never went into, oh, this could cause other problems, failure, blood getting into you, urine. I mean, I wish they had gone in more details.
Right.
So, I mean, what what do you wish that maybe they could have enlightened you to learn more about?
Well, something
before being educated the hard way.
Yeah, something on that line, and there again, they may have mentioned it, but it wasn't emphasized, I guess, as much as it should have, was the fact of just the sheer importance, vital importance of the your wheelchair cushion. I mean, you know, I came home from the hospital with a good old fold up wheelchair. And some rinky-dink foam cushion that came along with it, and very quickly developed a pressure sore, decubitus ulcer in the fancy term. But you know, trying to get back. By this time, I was back at home. Was trying to get back to go to school, and. You know, the only option I had, I mean, I had to go to school, and of course, paraplegic in a wheelchair, you're sitting on your rear end all day. And then when I got home to get pressure off, I had to stay in bed. So I was either going to school or in bed. And that was, it took over a year to get rid of it. So, that was rough. That was one thing that just wasn't, you know, the proper emphasis wasn't put on that, I guess.
Well, and the sad thing is, if you didn't have the desire to better yourself, if you wouldn't have gone to school, you may have only been in bed 6 months to get it healed. But because of getting up and going to school, keeping that pressure on it for hours and hours slowed the results.
Exactly.
There's a lot of, I mean, but thankfully you had that desire. Want to better yourself. Hey, and in the chat over here, if anybody has a question, go ahead and just pop it up there and we'll go from there. And because I've got one here that's very important because I did skip this. Big J Dog. Hey, buddy. Thank you for coming in. He said, what happened to you? How did you get hurt? So, Mike, I did leave that off in the very beginning. We just mentioned about being a paraplegic. So, Mike, go ahead and tell us your story, brother.
Well, it was 85. I was going into my senior year at East Tennessee State. I've been, like I said, James mentioned earlier, I was playing college baseball. And it just started my senior year, was out partying, and no recollection of it. Thank God I dropped a buddy of mine off at his apartment and was headed back to the bar, and not wearing a seatbelt. Another stupid decision, ran off the road, passenger side, hit a tree, broke. I was in a little Honda CVCC, Go Bucks. That's right. Broke my seat backwards, threw me out the back passenger window, and was just hanging. Was told they found me later on hanging out the back passenger window. So I had broken my back, had some head injury. Collapsed lung, broken ribs. So I went to the hospital there in Johnson City. I was there for about a couple of weeks. Then they moved me to Vanderbilt, had spinal surgery at Vanderbilt, started rehab probably near the end of September, and got to come home finally. After I came home from rehab for Thanksgiving. So the whole incident there started September 1, and I was home at the end of November for Thanksgiving, ready to start life on wheels. So,
there it goes again. We kind of a brother here in the mix right here that you said your age was September 1, where mine was September 11th of different years, but it happened. And so you look up there, I put Jan Fans or Go Bucks. She knows where you're talking about.
That's right.
Jan Fans. So, and now Jan's asking, did you rehab at Vandy? And yes, Mike mentioned Vanderbilt early. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in, Jan. Appreciate that. Jan, I'm going to get with you because I want your story. Jan has got an awesome story to go on. She's just gone through some cancer and all her treatments and whatnot. And she has been a butt kicker in this area. So we're going to bring her in the near future. So
outstanding.
It's very pleased that Jan can come in. So TV's first channel, thank you for coming in, buddy. All right. So, Mike, I purposely left this out, but let's go and hop into it. Okay. Let me go back to when you mentioned about your pressure sore. We should have gone more into that and everything. I did get a pressure sore once, and I was in the hospital when I got mine.
Uh-huh.
Because I would just lay on my back the whole time, you know, after surgery. And so because laying in that one position for the majority is caused me to get mine.
Sure,
and, exactly. And it took me 4 or 5 months because I wasn't going back to school like you. So uh-huh. Mine was just 4 or 5 months before it finally healed up. And fortunately, hadn't had one since then. But I got this other friend, and he's a paraplegic. He's like a T12. It's way down there.
Yeah, well, that's mine. I'm a T11-12 myself. So.
Are you? Well, yep. He's a T12. He may be even an 11-1 maybe. Okay. But he's had so many daggum sores that they have amputated like half his butt from it because it got so bad. I just don't understand with all his upper body strength and stuff. He just wasn't aware for some reason.
Now, does it something I found it does he smoke?
No. Okay. I've never seen him smoke.
Okay.
But he would just get his computer and just sit there, and I've never once seen him do a pressure release with his computer.
Yeah, well, both of us, you see us both shifting. I mean,
I'm shifting with you over here.
Once you experience one, I haven't had one since either, but once you experience one, it's that rock in motion. You gotta keep moving. You realize it. So,
oh yeah. So yeah, you don't want after you get that first one, you don't want to go back to the next one. I got another friend. He was doing quad rugby, and he was in one of them chairs. And he kept telling them, "I just don't feel right in the chair. I don't feel right." And they go, "Oh, you just hadn't been in one in a while." And he ended up getting a sore, and it's taken him now 8 months from it. And, wow. But he was telling him he didn't feel right, and no one would listen to him. And so go from there. So, all right, here's another question. I didn't bring this up in your intro, but I want to lead into something here. One major effect is for spinal cord injury, especially for the males, is they may not be able to get erections. They may not be able to get a high enough sperm count to produce children. Maybe too hot in the testicle areas or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Now, Mike, next month, will be married to his wife, Sherry, for 30 years, and they have two children, have a boy, Nathan, and a daughter, Riley. So, Mike, let's go a little into this sensitive area. How'd you have children?
Well, situation as grown up, Bob, thank God for adoption. Both my children were adopted, were there for both of their births. And, just for us, it worked out. I mean, we did try in vitro and, tried twice and, was unsuccessful with that. So
in vitro can get a little expensive, can it?
Yeah, home equity line. Yes, yeah. It took out another mortgage against the house to try to make that happen. So yeah, it was very expensive, and something else too that especially if you have more unlimited funds, I mean, it's something you could get caught up into and just go and keep trying and trying and trying and trying and. Two things. We were certainly limited in our funds, and we set a limit of two. We tried twice and didn't work out. At that point, we decided that, okay, that's not where God wants us to go. So we went with Miriam's Promise, adoption agency here in Nashville, and that they were just absolutely fabulous for us. And we've got two wonderful children. We're still in relationships with two wonderful, wonderful birth mothers, the families. And it's just turned out to be a very, very productive, beneficial situation to everybody. So it really worked out well.
So, and that's awesome with the, you know, adoption is there is the, don't want to say final expectations or whatnot. You may never know when that miracle might happen with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, you know, at her age, she loves to say, surprise, Mike. But I mean, awesome. I actually know another couple, a friend of mine, a boy coached in baseball years ago, and him and his wife couldn't conceive. They're not spinal cord injured. One of them, so for some reason, wasn't working like it's supposed to. And mm-hmm. I think they went through that Mary's promise, and they've adopted three kids.
Excellent.
Once you said that name, I was thinking, yeah, that sounds familiar. So what at that time was frustrating, but then years later, you're laughing going, you know, that wasn't as bad as it could have been. But during that time, it was the thing to do, you know, because it was so frustrating. You were so mad at it. But then you go, you know, looking back here, that wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. I mean, is there anything like that, Harry,
funny that you asked that, and I haven't thought about it in a long time because I haven't heard it in a while. But used to be, I guess, freshly injured, if you want to call it. Friends, whatever, whoever, maybe invite me over, want to do something. And they would tell me, oh, I forgot you were in a wheelchair. And, that used to rage all over me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How? I'm 4 feet tall. What do you mean? Don't remember I'm in a wheelchair. But, I guess through age, years, maturity, acceptance, whatever, I've come to where I kind of take that as an ultimate compliment. Well, like I said, I haven't heard that in a long time, but I guess that's, you know, I'm comfortable with myself. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I've got a seat wherever I go, you know, so I'm okay with it now.
Yeah, I would think it's more of acceptance and being more tolerant of other people because they don't know. You know, some people just don't know what to say. So they'll say, they think they're complimenting by saying, I forgot you're in a wheelchair. And yeah. They're trying to be complimentary even though they don't think what they're saying.
Yeah. It's funny. Anybody that does, so many people come up, they want to start. My aunt was in a wheelchair, or my great great uncle, grandma, whatever. I mean, they'll pull anybody out of the realm of their knowledge that they know. Oh, this person was in a wheelchair, and I get it's that bonding, that connection or whatever. So it's just, you know. It's kind of funny too.
Jan said that you love that you got to see it where you go. Right. It doesn't work as much now, but I used to go to the movie and say, because the sign would say all seats and whatever the price is. And I go, I've already brought my seat. I didn't want to watch the movie.
Exactly.
And for a while, they would let me in. Then all of a sudden, new management came in, and I went in and could do that. And so I'm heading down the thing, and boy, they stopped me real fast. Said I had to be $7.50.
Yeah.
What?
I do miss that too, where that you could go, you and your helper could go to the movie for free. I do miss that. Carmike went away, and they nixed that before they went away. And
that's exactly what Carmike. You're right.
AMC does not have the same deal, but that
you're
was
right about that.
That was a welcome, a very nice benefit.
Hey, Patch of Heaven Farm, thank you for showing up. Thank you for coming in. Also, Gary's Hot Wheels collection. Boy, I've seen your Hot Wheels on there. Boy, I love them. Love your Hot Wheels collection there, Gary. So maybe I tell you what, I wish I need to take a picture right above me. Of course, you can't see above me. There was one time I was teaching, and we did one time it was called MORP, M-O-R-P, which is prom spelled backwards. Okay. So the high school was having prom. So in the middle school, we did MORP. So two teachers from the sixth grade, well, actually it was four from the seventh grade. And then, well, no, it was two from each grade. And the male was the woman, since MORP is backwards, and the woman was the man, being backwards, MORP was back. And so two students that I had and their family took a refrigerator box and built a Mustang, a 60s type Mustang, to put over my three-wheel scooter. And so I came out with blonde wig, red lipstick as Mustang Sally. So so we're talking about Hot Wheels. It made me think of my Mustang right above. I actually got a video of that. I need to get it on a DVD and then get it up and see. It's pretty sharp. So
see, Jan's having to leave us, but you're very welcome, Jan. I'm enjoying this.
Thank you, Jan, for showing up. And again, I'm going to get with you to get your story one day. So, all right. One thing that I had to learn, Mike, and Patch of Heavens, hey, buddy, and Garris, I will again. Hey, one thing that I had to learn, I don't know about you, but I had to learn patience because I was so ready to go. I was on the move and then had to slow down and had to learn to be patient on what's going on. You know, I'm thinking it's time. We're supposed to be already in some place. Let's go. Well, it's not in my control anymore, especially when you went driving the first time, you know, when driving at the beginning. So I'm having to depend on other people. And I'm going, come on, you need to be here 4 minutes ago. And I had to learn patience. So is anything you had to learn early on to make things easier for you? More acceptance, I guess, more acceptance.
I mean, the definitely there at the start, not being able to drive, that was a big adjustment. I mean, it took, you know, I had to get another car. A buddy of mine that I graduated high school with, and I actually been struck by lightning, was flying a model airplane, not lightning. He was flying one of those model airplanes and ran, it was connected wires and ran it into a power line and it got electrocuted. But he was an engineer in school and was going and ended up making his own hand controls. And that was literally the first set of hand controls I got on my first Monte Carlo, was basically homemade. I mean, iron, a motorcycle clutch cable and, you know, it was a, didn't look the prettiest, but it was very functional and it was a heck of a lot cheaper than what a nice set of hand controls cost. So,
I've told my story before. My first set of hand controls, I was actually at Volunteer State Community College, our 2 years university here. Uh-huh. I was there and I just starting to try to learn to drive again. And, but I didn't have hand controls. And this one woman, I was talking to her about it. And then told us, I just can't afford $500 to get hand controls.
Right.
The next class meeting we had after class, she came over and handed me an envelope, $500, and said, enjoy driving. And she gave me the money to do my first set of hand controls. Wow. So with that was awesome. There's angels everywhere. You just absolutely have to be open-minded and find them.
Absolutely. And then my first set was I worked into the purchase agreement when I got the car, figured out it because I got you know, American cars, Ford, whatever, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, they would do it automatically. But, and I still don't know if the other imports will do it automatically. I had to specify that I wanted them to put hand controls on my car to buy a new car. And they agreed to it. I don't think they realized what it cost. Sure, we'll do that. And I think the set I had put on, I think they were almost $1,000. So it was, you know, crazy.
Yeah, I got in a new car years ago, and that was part of the package I told them. And, of course, they got some grant, I'm assuming, from the federal government to do this. And yeah, there was a $1,000 grant to put these hand controls in and from there. So, yeah, that program, I don't know if they still do it because I hadn't bought a new one in a long time. But I would imagine, yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of people that may not know that exists if it still does. So,
yeah, that's definitely worth asking if they'll do it automatically. And if not, definitely work that into the purchase price of the car.
That's right. So, hey, I'm going to jump back here for a second that when you talked about they didn't realize or they forgot that you were in a wheelchair. Here's what happened to me before is I was at one of our local stores. Hey, my buddy come in, Ricardo. Hey, Ricardo, he's laying down now. But we were going to his favorite establishment, Walmart. And I was sitting out in the middle of an aisle somewhere, and this guy walks right past me. We played high school ball together. We grew up together, walked right past me. And then I called his name out and he looked at me and said, "Oh, I didn't see you sitting there." And I said, "As big and as fat as I am, you couldn't see me sitting here?" So I'd be, tell you, people are weird some ways. So, all right, Mike, tell us two or three, what motivates you to want to do better than just laying in bed and be watered like a plant? I mean, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of people that give up early in life. And I've met several people with my injury or even lower, and they're in a nursing home already. So what do you think gives you that desire to want to do better?
Well, I attribute most of it just to my competitiveness, which relates back to just playing sports and athletics. I played them all growing up through school: basketball, football, baseball, tennis, ran track, did it all. Was most athletic, high school superlative, and you know ended up fortunate enough to be playing D1 baseball. And, you know, just the sheer fact of I wasn't going to be beat. I mean, laying in bed or whatever, or giving up, not pursuing, not continuing my education. To me, all that linked to giving up. And I wasn't going to give up. I wasn't going to be beat. And then thankfully I had, right after my wreck, I mean, had a great family, mom, dad, brothers took care of me. Then fortunate enough to, run back into Sherry at our, 5-year high school reunion. She was open-minded enough to take me on. And,
that's right.
And you know, she's been great. Got married in 1989 and still together. So coming up on 30 years there, marriage. And it's just been, it's, I mean, you know, sure, there's been ups and downs, good times, bad times, whatever. But bottom line, I wasn't going to get beat. And I think that's the big thing. Now, there were, especially there at the start, right after getting home from rehab. Thank you, Patch of Heaven. Right there after getting home from rehab and all, I mean, there were many nights just, you know, just laid in bed crying. I mean, it hurt. It wasn't easy. Considered giving up, throwing in the towel, suicide, whatever you want to call it. Sure, that entered the mind. But when it all got down to it, you know, I wasn't going to be beat.
There you go. The four things come to me after you put a lot of information in there. And four things. One, meeting up with Sherry with your 5-year school reunion. And so for her to, again, like you said, to be open-minded, and
right.
I mean, she had to really swallow those words for better or worse, huh? And, I mean, for her, I mean, because you know as well as I do, it's not a picnic with the wheelchair some days.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of great days, but there's days, yeah, it's not a picnic sometimes. All right. Another thing that you mentioned that about your family support and everything helping out. Okay. I contribute three, well, actually it's four, but the three main things that I contribute to success or whatnot for me is God in my life. And I didn't get saved till late in my life, but you know, knowing that he's the one that put me with a family that would help take care of me. And he knew who my family should be way before I was even born. And they would put me with that family. So I've God in my life, the family and the friends that have been with me to help get things through. Cause I definitely couldn't have done it by myself.
Yeah.
So, from there. Another thing that I can't remember. I said four things, but I can't remember them now. So I got this sum timers going on.
Well, there you go. Well, you get back. You mentioned God in there, and I was probably going in a direction God didn't approve of, and he did enough to try, you know, knock me back into line, but I survived. I mean, I've still got great upper body. I wish I'd had these shoulders and arms when I was playing.
Oh, you know, I hear you.
Baseball. But, you know, he did what I needed to get back in line. And that's, you know, I'm glad you said that, because that's it. I hate to say it, but you know, it's what I needed. It's what I needed.
Well,
that's it. You know,
a strong faith can say that. Someone else, he just bitch and complain about it. That doesn't understand that. I mean, for me, example, I tell people that sure, I would have liked to go on and play professional. I would have liked to have been able to help out my family more like that. But if I had to go do it all over again, I don't know if I would. I mean, I've done a whole lot more than I ever thought I would. I've been out of the country to Africa, Comoros Islands, been over in Paris. So I've done a lot more than I ever thought I would after getting injured, and have been successful in a lot more areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Only one change I wish I could make is that my family didn't have to suffer along with me. Right. But, you know, being family members, they're there. They're going to suffer along with you to help you out. So, and one of the other things I was going to mention, others, I've said this before, that sports competitive teaches a lot about life. So
yes.
How to be a gracious winner and how to be a gracious loser, how to overcome, how to adjust in life, the work as a team, you know, people that are around you. So,
exactly.
There's a lot that can be learned from playing sports. Okay. It's not just a keep a score and the winner wins. And definitely not like today where everybody gets trophies. You don't get them back when I played.
Participation.
So I don't even know if I got a slap on my back from my dad when our team was so bad one year. So, hey, we also got, prospecting with disabilities. Hey, thank you for coming in, buddy. So Gary's Hot Wheels says, great stories, guys. Respect. Hey, thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. And prospecting with disabilities. My disability is different. I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when. Oh, sorry to hear about that, man. Prospecting with disabilities, I hate to say it, but I kind of glad that mine happened like it did, because like ALS, you know, one day you could be walking down the street, then the next day you're dragging a foot, then the next day you're sitting, then the next day you're not breathing or not eating. And I think I'd rather want to lose everything all at once.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Regress. So yeah. I'm sorry about you going through that, prospecting with disabilities. Hey, keep my channel and everything, and email me stuff or DM me and you can do anything to help with you if I can. So, all right, Mike, got anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to enlighten us with? You got it all, man. So I appreciate you being on here. Again, this is September. They said it's spinal cord injury awareness. Again, they didn't ask me, but it should be spinal cord, how to prevent injury is what it should be to me. But we can meet a lot of people. Today I was at a store and met a woman and gave her a card and told her I want her story to do this. And she's been in a wheelchair 4 years, I think she said. She's the military, but she got hit by a drunk driver. And so, but her husband and her were there, and I think it was three kids, maybe four, about three, I think, with her. And so I gave her my card and told her I would love to get her story on here as well. So go from there. All right, Mike, appreciate it. Everybody that has shown up and supporting us, I really appreciate this. Again, you can DM me something to get with me on YouTube and whatnot, and appreciate your support. Be sure to share this out. Give us a thumbs up, a like, and telling other people this is going to be a podcast I'm trying to get more involved with. It's the second one we've done here, and so we're going to move forward. I don't know if it'll get any better, but we'll give it the old college try. Hey, now I go back to my fourth thing that I remembered. So I like sometimers. I come back to it. Last thing here, Mike, we'd mentioned about people giving up too early. You know, you had mentioned about depression, suicide, and everything. And so, and thankfully, you didn't go any deeper than just thinking. How it's funny that people say, don't give up, keep moving on, you know, keep going strong, just go forward, go. But when someone retires from work, isn't that giving up? You're finally quitting? I mean, I'm retiring. So I'm going to tell people I'm just retiring from walking. So I'm not. But I also learned a friend of mine, you may know him, a friend of mine, his name is Kenny. And I remember him saying, you know, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away and know when to run. And you never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'd be plenty of time to count when the dealing's done. So it just reminds me of Kenny when they say, you know, you got to know when to move on in life. And there's times that you may have to sit and stew through it to be able to move on. Don't be in a rush. It's going to come when it comes. Of course, the quicker you can help it out to move, that's even better. But there may be times it may take a while. So, and from there. All right, everybody, thank y'all for being here. For the people come back on the replay, thank you for being here. Again, share it out. Please give thumbs up. And thank you. I'm the Professor of Perseverance, Dr. James Perdue. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.